Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome to the show, 92.9 The Game, here on a Tuesday, still morning. I always get weird with the morning once it's like after 8, and I'm calling it morning. Andy always says, good morning, Randy, and it's just, it's like 11 o'clock normally. Of course, we're on at 10 o'clock. It's Abe Gordon. It is Bo Squid, Billy Morgan. We got Bo Johnson hanging out as well.
What's the universal start time, Bo Johnson, for brunch? Is it 11 or is it 10:30?
Oh, brunch, I would say 10 a.m.
I was going with 10 too. Yeah.
So after 10, I don't think you should really say morning, I guess. But it's still morning. For me, it's weird because normally at 10:02, I've been up for 7 hours.
And, that's the thing. I feel like I've been up forever. And then Andy's like, good morning, Randy. I'm like, morning?
You've done morning radio. I know Bo's done it before, but I don't know a long term, but I know you've been a part of morning radio. I had somebody say to me one day, because, you know, you used to be really big in radio food drops, and food drops used to come in a plethora in the morning. And it's not breakfast food normally. It'll have like pizza or, Willie Salucci, who used to run the Palm when I was working with Steak. At the other station, as an intern, he would bring burgers in.
This is not an issue for me.
He would bring burgers in.
I eat any food any time of day.
Well, and that's the thing.
So, not everyone can do that, though.
So people were like, well, how can you eat a burger at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning? And I'm like, dude, I've been up for this long. But to that point,
practically your lunch
is no. It is no longer an issue for me. Like, I have moved past that where I would be like, oh, I can't have that. It's not breakfast food. No, I could eat a steak and
tacos,
and French fries,
anything. Yeah. Anything at any time of day. Yeah. Never a problem. It was a great night for you, Bo. It was a great night for me, of course, referring to both of us being Florida Gator fans. And
I think it was a great night for anyone that's a sports fan that wanted to watch a good game.
Well, so, and that's part of my discussion too, and we'll get to the Florida aspect of it for you and me in a moment, but like, I wrote it here on the rundown. Like, for an unbiased fan just looking for a good championship game, like, what a treat. Like you and I were probably biting fingernails, clenching butt cheeks, and getting nervous, sweating, pacing, all that. For an unbiased fan, not even just last night, but Saturday as well, like, these trio of semifinal games in the championship game last night, all three outstanding games. Like, we've seen some of the pundits who have been covering the Final Four for 20 years, 30 years, saying this might be the best trio of games in the history of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree. You and I have, you know, I'm 41, about to be 42, and you're almost 40 or are 40 now.
Not quite, almost there.
And, we've gotten to take in a few of these, and I've seen some great games. It feels like the title game for a long time was kind of a letdown. Now, recently, we've had some really good title games. Duke Butler, go back to North Carolina.
That was not
Villanova.
A great title game.
the first time Butler was in that title game, it was good. The second Butler time, the Butler went back to back. And it was that Duke Butler game came down to the final shot.
But it was played.
Okay.
I mean, no one can make a shot.
Yes, but because there is defense doesn't mean I know that it might
that
be
was not
for
defense.
The eyes.
Those teams shot like 18%.
All right. It ended up having a great ending.
It was
a good game. It wasn't a blowout like we've seen so many. That's the first time I've seen Florida play a national title game in college basketball that it was close.
I don't know about that. They obviously blew out UCLA in 06. The game against Greg Oden was competitive.
It was late in that game, there was no doubt.
Within seven minutes, that
game was over.
It was close. It was never a blowout, but it was never 2 points either.
Yeah.
It kind of moved between 6 and 9 most of that second half.
Which is comfortable. This was not at any point.
I don't think so. At no point was this game comfortable, even down to the well, I guess you can't say last shot, but I think you know where I'm headed. The potential that Houston had to either tie and send it to overtime or hit the three, which it looked like they were going to attempt to do.
Well, they definitely attempted to do it.
Well,
I mean, there's no doubt in that.
Technically, it didn't register as a shot attempt.
He went up for a shot and abandoned it with a
technically not an attempt.
Left arm dribble. Abe, don't play the technicality crap with me this morning.
That's not technicality. That is a factuality.
You know what he was doing.
Of course I do.
Okay, so don't act like it's something it wasn't. We're not going to play that game. It's 10:07. We're both happy. I don't need contrarian. Be happy. You can tell you're smiling as you open the show.
I'm just saying, if we had asked, and you and I didn't really have access to this, if we had asked Kelvin Sampson, after seeing the way he corrected the media at multiple points over the course of this tournament, if we had asked Kelvin Sampson, hey, coach, on that final shot attempt, I think he stops you and says, we actually didn't get a shot attempt.
Well, that's because that's only he
he's
only,
frustrated.
He would only do that because he's frustrated.
I get that.
But it's clear that they
yeah,
were trying
they were going
to,
for the win.
They were trying to get either Cryer, and I heard Seth Greenberg talking about this, and he even said, he goes, it's clear to me that Cryer was the first option, but because of the defense, they went to the second for Sharp. And Sharp, he goes, I personally thought Sharp should have drove in. That's fine. Play for the tie. We can talk about this game, but the tell of two halves is more about the way the game was officiated than how the game was played. Because, yes, Houston pulled away in that game to get a 12-point lead and Florida fought back. But when you go look at it, there were, four fouls called in the first half. Florida had one, and Houston had three. In the second half, Florida had committed 7 fouls at the 14-minute mark. That's 14 minutes left. And then it was 7-2, the discrepancy. And then the next thing you know, it's 10-7 as Houston had committed 10. They called that game completely different. They allowed the first half to be physical, and you set a physical tone, and then, which was fine. That's how Houston plays, and it was up to Florida to adapt to that. And they tried to in the second half, and the next thing you know, they get a technical, they get all these fouls called, and then Houston goes down the floor, Florida goes down the floor offensively, and they commit 3 fouls in one possession.
Yeah.
It became this thing where, yes, they were fouls, but why weren't they fouls in the first half? Because they played the game the same way.
I think it's easier, at least for you and I, to take based on the fact that Florida ended up winning. And in the moment, I was frustrated with the officiating, too, and for a couple of reasons. One, you never want the officiating to be a storyline in these games. It was in Duke's loss to an extent because of the Cooper flag over the back foul. And I think it was last night as well. And it's just, if you set a barometer of what level of physical play is going to be allowed, you can't change that at halftime. And that appears to be what happened in last night's game. And by the way, they're also, and this is not just a Florida fan complaining, it also swung in the other direction. Because at one point after the technical foul was issued to the bench, it was like the next 11 of the next 12 fouls were against Houston. And so,
well, that's what I'm
it
saying.
It was a barrage of fouls on Florida early. Florida fans were like, hey, what is going on? This was not a foul in the first half. After Florida picks up the tech, now Houston fans are saying, hey, what's with all the fouls? Well, 11 of them against us and one against the it got out of hand
both sides. Both sides had an argument. To me,
the other thing is the calls may not have been wrong. It's not that they were or weren't fouls. It's that you had set a notice of what you would allow,
but I'm not arguing
and then change
that.
It. No, I know.
And that's, I don't think anybody's arguing that. I don't even think Houston fans are arguing that. That's my problem. Either team could have won the way the game was called in the first half. And either team could have won the way the game was called in the second half. You had a 2-point game, guys, and it was a 3-point game at halftime in Houston's favor. But see, what happens is when, and I thought Jay Williams talked about this, players figure out, coaches figure out, oh, you're going to call it this way. And it was clear that Todd Golden got his guys and said, guys,
yeah,
we've got to bring the physicality to them. We've got the depth. Let's use their game against them and wear them down. And that is exactly what Florida came out and intended to do. They still did it, though. Well, what happened to me was when Houston realized they're going to call it this way in the second half, they should have attacked the basket more. And when Florida realized how they were going to call it, what did they start doing? They started attacking the back. Oh, we're going to get the foul call if we drive in? Walter Clayton starts attacking.
Well, the other difference there was two of the Houston big men got in foul trouble. One eventually fouled out, and that opened things up for Clayton as well.
I understand, but that happened because of how you were calling it, and you realized it. And I thought Houston should have done more of that.
We got to move on because the officiating's not really the story, at least in my opinion. Maybe that's just as a biased fan celebrating today. Florida's ability to just flip a switch and understand things in the final 10 minutes of a game, it's just what won them this title. It happened last night. It obviously happened against Auburn. It happened against Texas Tech, and it happened against UConn. And we've seen, and I guess use the term flip a switch, right? There's just something about Florida that has them in a comfort level there. Walter Clayton named the most outstanding player for the Final Four. 11 points in this game, but he also had 5 boards, 7 assists, and a number of key defensive plays as well, including disrupting what would have been the final shot attempt. On a night where Houston made it as difficult as they possibly could for him, one, he found a way to still impact this game, even though the point total wasn't up there. And then two, you saw other guys step up. Will Richard early in this
phenomenal
game.
He was a saver.
Back-to-back threes, hit another one later in the first half.
14 points in the first half.
Yeah, 18 overall. He kept them in the game. I thought Alex Condon early in the game, they made a point to go down low to him and Chinyelu.
He irritated me. Stop trying to pass the ball, go up with it. He had 3 travel calls.
He had a number.
Hey, let's real quick on Clayton. He had 5 or 6 assists, Abe, in the first half.
Yeah.
And they were doubling him with and without the ball. But Will Richards was the story in the first half.
Yep.
And then he might have went a little quiet in the second half, but he has the steal late and the next to last possession.
The one that bounced off the Houston knee.
Sharp's knee, yeah. And it was a rough ending for Sharp in that game.
Yep.
But he was so big. Florida just did what they did, though. They have so many guys that play a role. And they all played their role, and some of them stepped up a little more, including Condon.
And I think that's the central thing about this Florida team. And if you go back to the 06, 07 Florida teams, on a given night, you just didn't know who was going to beat you. And I think a lot of people looked at this game and really this run for Florida and says, Walter Clayton, Walter Clayton, Walter Clayton. And I understand why, right? The back-to-back 30-point efforts and all that stuff. I think last night showed you that it is a lot more about depth and a unit than just Walter Clayton going nuts and carrying this team.
Yeah, well, I think Walter Clayton was needed and was hot against Auburn.
Sure.
But Hauk had a huge game against Auburn.
Yep.
He only had 5 points last night, but he had a big block, big steal, big basket that kind of got them back into it. You know, you mentioned Condon. Chinyelu plays a role. Richard Martin. Play like all these guys, their stat lines don't read, but it's more than that. And a lot of it is the defensive effort, which cannot go understated how Florida beat Houston the way Houston beats people.
We'll talk more about that. Also, I want to look overall at this NCAA tournament and get some thoughts on what will be the lasting memory from these games. We'll talk about that. Got a bunch more coming. Big games for the Braves and the Hawks coming your way tonight as well. Keep an eye on a couple of different things. Mike Conte going to join us at 11:40. MLB Network Radio's Mike Farron going to join us at 1:20. So a lot still to come. It is the Midday Show. Abe Gordon and Bo Morgan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Uzan on the right-hand wing, stops with 7 seconds, gives it to Cryer, 6 seconds to go, 5 seconds to Sharp, top of the key, lost the dribble, he's got to pick it up, it's scooped up by Condon, Condon secures it, and Florida found a way, from 12 down to the school's third national championship in men's basketball, 65-63, the final, the Florida Gators are the national champions once again.
Kevin Kugler on Westwood One, and I think that's a pretty apt description. Florida finds a way. And you go back through a number of these games, and yeah. Sometimes I just don't know how they were able to win. I was confident in the comeback against Auburn. The comeback against Texas Tech was like, man, I don't know if they're going to get there. And last night as well, I was just like, when it got to 12, I was like, against a Houston team with that defensive abilities.
Let's talk about this real quick.
Yeah.
They get to 12, and if not, I'm not mistaken, that's right around the time that Chinyelu goes up, gets the foul called, and then slams the ball, gets a technical.
Right.
And
free throws coming.
Yes. And at that's what got it to 12, I believe.
Yeah.
At that moment, I don't know if you noticed, but Elijah Martin, I'm sure you did, Elijah Martin walks over and kind of bumps him on his chest with his fist and was like, we don't do – like, he said some stern words, and Walter Clayton pulled up.
Stern words.
But it wasn't anything, like, screaming, demonstrative.
It was leadership.
It was just like, hey, that's not how we do. And Chinyelu, he calls the huddle, and he's like, hey, that's on me. My bad. They immediately, but he apologizes, and they pulled him. But from that point on, Florida complete. It was like it did the opposite. And I think what the point I'm trying to make is that Florida seems to stay calm in the face of adversity.
Well, they've been there before too, which helps.
They don't lose their cool. Yeah. Then they pull together and they collectively start to claw back, and that's exactly what they did.
The other thing that happened is they got Houston to play at their pace. And bad possessions offensively for Houston turned into an ability to do what they prefer to do defensively for Houston, and I think that helped, along with the foul trouble for the big guys. Hey, question for you. How do you think this tournament's going to be remembered? Like, what's your lasting thought of this NCAA tournament here in the immediate aftermath?
To me, it's one of the better ones we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
I understand it was chalk, which upsets – it was more chalk than not, which upsets people. But the
– if it's going to deliver those three games.
Well, not even that. Think about the Elite Eight games. We had some good Elite Eight games. Like, the Florida-Texas Tech game was phenomenal.
Was that Purdue-Houston or was that a Sweet 16? That may have
Purdue,
been Sweet 16.
Purdue-Houston was Sweet 16. Yeah. But that was also a good game. We had a lot – you know, UConn-Florida was a great game. We had a lot of really good games in this tournament. The Duke-Houston game was – the Duke-Houston game was actually better than the Florida-Auburn game. And the Florida-Auburn game had like 17 lead changes, but the way it played out – it's funny because Amy didn't watch the game. My wife, and she this morning I get home from the gym, she's like, well – hey, what happened in the game? Did Florida win? I said, yeah. She goes, well, was it a good game? I said, it's one of the better national championship games I've seen in ever. She goes, really? I go, it was actually a really wild game. We had really good games because we had heavyweights just throwing haymakers the entire tournament.
I'm going to make a concession here, an admission. Feel free to agree or feel free to shame me as a fan of Florida. I don't think Florida would have beaten Duke, and I think – long after this tournament is over, a lot of people are going to look at it and say Duke was the best team in the country that year. They didn't win a championship. And the better Cooper Flagg does in the NBA, I don't think stain is the right word. That's not the right word, but a lot of people are like, man, how did they not win that year?
I think that's a little bit –
I don't think Florida would have beat Duke.
Well, hold on. That's fine. That's your opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's a little weak, and here's why. Because – I'm not telling you that they would have. I'm not saying they would have lost either because,
right,
to me, Florida was able to overcome what Houston gave them and Auburn gave them the same way Houston overcame what Duke gave them. I believe wholeheartedly Duke had the best starting five in college basketball.
Yeah.
But I also wholeheartedly believe Florida had the best overall team. And depth is a lot in a tournament like this. Depth and the ability to play defense and to win close games. Duke didn't have that. Florida did. Houston had better ability to do that than Duke did. That's why Duke got left at the Final Four.
Yeah, and the other thing about this is I don't know how this Florida team is going to be remembered. Like, obviously, as national champions. But the 06-07 Florida teams, I can make the arguments that they are the best college team in history. You certainly aren't saying that about these guys.
No, but what you're saying is Florida was, in the end of the day, the best team in the country, but they were also the best team in the best conference and one of the best conferences we've ever seen on paper and on the court.
I think we've seen Villanova in recent years, Virginia, teams that you describe as just more mentally tough than pretty much
the
everyone.
The super team thing,
I think that's what it was, too.
The super team doesn't exist like it, you know, did kind of when the Florida, what they did in 05, 06, 06, 07. Guys, they just don't – it's just not the same like that. Cooper Flagg was the best player in the country, but don't forget, Walter Clayton Jr. is a first team All-American.
Yep.
It's not like they were short on talent.
No, they weren't. They weren't. Braves kick off a series tonight against the Phillies, sitting at 1-8 on the season. At 11:20, we're going to get real deep into this discussion because it's a series the Braves, quite frankly, might need to have. And so we'll talk about whether they're delivering a message or hoping to deliver a message in that series. But another game that needs to be had tonight is the Atlanta Hawks. And this is a game tonight at Orlando. Going to be right here on 92.9 The Game. Pregame starts at 6:30. Tip is going to go right there at 7. It's a huge game in the standings. You're trailing the Magic. A loss here is going to make it real, real difficult to get to number seven. But a loss here also makes you look backwards a little bit because the Heat won last night. They're a half game behind Chicago. The Bulls are at Cleveland tonight, so that's a big one from that perspective. And you got two matchups against Orlando. The seventh seed is still right there, but you've got to win tonight to keep that in play.
And Orlando's they're compared to the Hawks, they're very stingy defensively. They're allowing 14 or 15 less points a game than the Hawks are.
Which has not necessarily been a great thing for the Hawks going up against some of these stingier defensive squads. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it plays out. But you're one game behind the Magic. So if you can win tonight, you might put yourself in good situations. If you lose, you might have to see what happens with Chicago. Do they get an unexpected win in Cleveland? And you might be falling out. So it's very interesting. You could go as high as seven. You could probably still potentially fall as low as 10. It's a wild finish, not just for Atlanta, but for Chicago, for Miami, and for Orlando
and
as well.
You really want to be the 7 or 8. You don't want to be the 9 or 10.
You want to get at least one home game.
Yeah.
We mentioned this yesterday. The Falcons did re-sign cornerback D. Alford to a one-year deal.
You kind of hope that's a depth move based on, like, I looked at I know we're going to talk about Mel Kiper's draft later, because mock draft, because he's got the Saints taking an interesting position.
Yeah.
But he's also got the Falcons getting an interesting pick in the second round. I want to get your take on that. But I hope at the end of the day we're talking about this being a depth piece.
Yeah, ideally that's the case. The Masters is here, and we got some news out of Augusta National that wasn't weather-related yesterday. It's Tiger-related, actually. Tiger and his design firm tabbed to create a new 9-hole short course at the Patch in Augusta, also putting a bunch of money to education and STEM in the Augusta area. And I want to remind you that tomorrow, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is going to be hitting the road to Augusta, firsthand coverage of the Masters. I'm going to be at Twin Peaks on Robert C. Daniel Parkway in Augusta from 10 a.m. to 2. Following me from 2 to 6, Dukes and Bell are going to be down there as well. We'll talk about the practice rounds, the par 3 contest, and get you set up for Thursday's opening round. That's Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Twin Peaks in Augusta. So if you're going down that way, maybe need to grab a bite, come join me there at Twin Peaks. One other thing that I find this pretty interesting. The Nationals beat the Dodgers yesterday 6-4. The Dodgers, after being tabbed the greatest team in the history of baseball, they've now lost 3 of their last 4. And maybe that's a little reminder to Braves fans as well that this is a long season, and you're not winning it in April. You're not losing it in April. And seasons are going to go with ups and downs, a little bit like the stock market, a little bit. Just you're going to have runs over the course of the season. You're starting out on a downturn. There's no doubt about it. Doesn't mean it won't ever turn up. And I think the Dodgers, it's in reverse, right? They're over here talking about when does the World Series gear come out, and then they turn around and lose 3 of their next 4.
Yeah, you know, you come. It's a West Coast team coming east, right? And it's essentially a lot like when an East Coast team goes west. So it kind of throws you off. You see them struggle at times. I think it's interesting. We're talking about that. I watched the how that game played out last night. Okay, that's their problem. I'm more worried about what we have. And Zach Wheeler tonight, comes home. He's a Georgia kid. He's Paulden kid from my hometown, and I'm more worried about finding a way at the plate to get hits off an elite pitcher as we have our Cy Young winner going.
We'll deal with that tonight. Over the course of the show, we'll be talking Braves plenty. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft in our next segment, but also I got a story that I really hope not too many of you can relate to, but I think ultimately almost everyone can relate to. Someone's got to pay, and it shouldn't be me. I'll tell you what happened on the drive home from Twin Peaks, Augusta, or from Twin Peaks, Kennesaw yesterday. It got me fired up. It's the Midday Show. Andy and Randy off this week. They'll be back next week. It's Abe Gordon, Bo Squid, Billy Morgan hanging out with you till 2 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Welcome back into the Midday Show. Andy and Randy off this week for spring break. They will be back next week.
Somebody told me you're not allowed to do, somebody tweeted me yesterday, you're not allowed to do the thing that y'all do at 1 o'clock with the...
No. We do the bow. Yeah, we do that. Yeah, we don't do Randy's woo.
Yeah, I was told you're not allowed to do the bow anymore.
Whoever told you that was wrong.
Well, I don't know. I don't care.
Johnson, a little backup here.
I don't care. I didn't respond because I wasn't gonna get into it because really it's not my place. Hey, from 6 to 9, I'll tell you what can and can't happen. But you know, in middays, I want you guys to do your own thing. You know, I'm trying to take the APD thing out of it.
We do the bow. We don't do the Ric Flair woo.
Yeah, Abe's perfectly capable and allowed to do the bow.
Okay, I
Ric Flair is the only person allowed to do the woo.
Well, I like the fact that you played Randy doing it.
I was Ric Flair.
Oh, that was Flair. Yeah. I thought it was Randy.
Which,
Randy,
by the way,
Randy even shut down Sam Crenshaw doing the woo. If you can believe that, the Godfather.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Randy is hilarious because he's got that little bit of like, no, you're not doing that, and you think he's kidding. He's like, no, I'm not kidding. No, you can't do that.
that's my thing. You can't do my thing.
Yeah, I look.
He stands by it.
And I like that. You stick to what you do and let someone else do their shtick.
All right, so here's the story, and it just...
This is your story.
It chaps me quite a bit, and I think this has happened to a lot of people, some to a worse extent than I had to deal with yesterday. Some maybe to no extent. I am driving on 75 heading south to 285. Driving home from Twin Peaks, Kennesaw yesterday. And something falls off of a big rig, strikes my windshield, and puts a small crack in it.
How small? What's the crack? Is it one that it kind of spider?
It hasn't spider webbed yet.
Is it a line or is it just
just a little chip.
Okay.
It's just a little chip. It's not the worst thing in the world. So it's a rock of some sort, a pebble.
Is it in your sight line?
Yes, but I just looked through it, whatever.
Like directly in your sight
line? Yeah, it's like right there in the middle of my windshield.
Oh, that sucks.
But here's the thing, and I think this has happened to a lot of people. It's mostly an 18-wheeler or a big rig that is either carrying debris or is carrying construction or farm equipment that these rocks fall off of.
Well, and sometimes they will kick rocks up in the road, but sometimes they do fall off.
It's almost never a rock being kicked up.
So what was this truck carrying?
So there were like four trucks. I don't know which one did the damage.
Okay.
But they have no responsibility. There is no situation set up in which I can determine the truck that dropped whatever cracked my windshield and deal with them to get it replaced. Now, a couple months ago, a whole brick fell off of one of these trucks.
A whole brick.
Mm-hmm. And we can go down into the parking garage. I'll show you exactly where it hit on my front bumper.
And how did that almost, I mean, how I need some description. You got to describe this. Were you on the interstate? Were you going fast?
We're on the interstate.
How did it not cause you to wreck? I mean, because a brick hitting a car is the big freaking deal, Abe.
It did hit my car. It hit low, so it hit the bumper. It hit my front grill.
So you basically ran over it.
No, I ran into it. Like, it, I don't know where it went after I hit it, but you can see there's part of my front grill that is gone.
If that brick, how low is, what kind of car do you drive?
Hyundai Accent.
So it's low.
Can take a hit. I'll tell you what. Because I thought the brick was going to do a lot more damage. I thought it was going to be a problem.
You're lucky you didn't go underneath your car and do some.
That would have been bad too. Up.
Maybe knock the hose off or something.
There's no punishment. There's no penalty for people being irresponsible with what they're carrying.
But here's the deal. You don't know that because you don't know who did it. So you don't know that they were being irresponsible for what they were.
If it fell off, they're being irresponsible.
But you don't know that. You can't say, you can't make a claim with no proof.
Yeah, you can, and I'll tell you why you can.
You came from a family of lawyers.
No,
you know
I'll tell
that.
You why you can. I'll tell you why you can. Because you know the trucks that it's happening to. Because it may not be the ones that crack your windshield, but you could hear little contacts as you're pulling up and passing this truck.
I understand.
There's plenty of stuff that hits your car that isn't popping the windshield.
I understand.
They also threw one. But you can tell, like, when you're passing a truck that looks dirty, And is carrying equipment that's probably been recently used, and as you're pulling up to it and passing it, you're clink, 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 but clink. You're all right, this truck is just spewing debris. I need to get around it. But I didn't get around fast enough. It took my windshield.
But see, here's the thing. As long as you're following the guidelines of the DOT and they have it covered, then they are covered. But the problem is the scenario you're telling me, you have no clue what truck it came from. If it was,
but even if I did, is my point. Even if I did know,
well, then you could. You know,
what am I supposed to do?
Well, you would get their tag number. You would call the person that they work for, and you would say that it came off this truck. It directly hit mine, and you could say I saw it come off. And now, most likely, most of the time, companies that are insured. They're just gonna.
I think without a dash cam, they'd say prove it.
Okay, so why don't you get a dash cam then? This is the second time it's happened to you. Now it's
third time, because the brick is one, the first crack is two, and now this crack.
Okay, well, if this is an ongoing problem for you,
and this can't be a me problem, by the way. Don't turn this back on me.
It sounds like you're following too closely to me.
I was trying to get past it. I wasn't behind it, by the way. I don't follow behind these trucks because I know there's
and you were on 285?
This is 75 South. The first time I was 285. I was trying to get around it.
Let me ask you a question. 75 South is, first off, you're saying you were trying to get around it and you knew, but you don't know who did it.
Well, there's four of them.
Okay,
four 18-wheelers there.
what lane were the 18-wheelers in? They were four deep, four abreast, I should say.
They were two of them were in the middle lane, one each offset in the lane two.
So
and
there
lane
was no,
four, I
there
don't
was
know.
Nowhere you could go without passing by one.
Backwards?
No, I'm not.
No, yeah, correct.
Answer the question.
Yeah, I couldn't avoid it by more than just being next to one.
Okay, well,
I couldn't avoid it by three lanes if that's what you're asking.
So, did you not try to strategically pick the one that looked like it had the less debris? I mean, also,
I was getting, this is not like just one pebble. I was getting hit for 10 seconds.
Okay. Well, look, I don't know what to tell you.
I just want some responsibility. I want a path.
This is why
to...
you have insurance, Abe.
I'm not.
You're not going to file a deductible.
I'm not even getting the windshield replaced.
Yeah.
So, until this thing spiderwebs.
Okay. Well, then, I mean.
But I think there should be some sort of like path towards the common man being able to get his windshield replaced for free when a truck puts a hole in it.
I just told you how.
Or a crack, not a hole.
I just told you how, but you
I just don't believe that. I just don't believe it's as simple as you make it seem.
Okay, well,
I think without proof, there's no way that the truck company's like, sure, we'll pay for your thing. It probably did come
from
us.
And you may be
there's
right.
There's just no way.
But you'd think if this had happened two or three times, you would go ahead and get a dash cam. That way you would have a way out. I mean...
Though you're also supposed to be able to hold like the DOT responsible for potholes causing flat tires. But again, like what Abe is saying, I think that you would have to prove substantially that was the pothole where you got the flat tire. So there may be a solution, Bo, to what you're saying, but the way to it is just so.
And by the way, a lot of dash cams don't show the full scope of your windshield.
Well,
and so if they don't see the crack happen from the dash video, if it's low enough
on
your windshield,
they might see that the dash cam could see it coming. Here's
the dash cams have audio? Like I would have needed them to hear that my car's being hit by multiple little things.
I'm pretty sure the good ones do. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Good ones cost more than the windshield.
Well, look, man.
The windshield's only a couple hundred.
Here's the problem. The problem for me is you're more worried about your windshield than you are the brick, apparently. The brick is the one that I think you have a case on.
Oh, I was shaking. I didn't it was ahead of me. I didn't see which truck. It was bouncing on the highway.
Well, then it's your fault. You could have avoided it.
Where am I supposed to swerve? Into the car on my left?
Into
the truck on my right?
Well, why are you
It was coming at me. There was nowhere I could go.
Well, how fast do you drive?
This was in decently traffic. Like, I was probably going 40.
I don't know, man. It sounds like he just got bad luck. I don't know what to tell
Maybe.
You. Maybe. I mean, I might have something hit me on the way home, but it just sounds like that this is something that's happened three times in recently that maybe you might be a little bit to
See,
blame.
I told you he was going to turn it around, didn't I? I set that up 7 minutes ago. I was like, you're going to blame me. This is not a me problem.
Because you're
I'm not the one dropping stuff off the back of my car into other cars.
No, you're the one following too closely.
I'm not. I'm trying to get around.
You are. I think you are.
Nah.
I'm
a safe driver.
I don't. Clearly not. You hit everything that moves.
Nope. See, you hit versus it hits me is a different story.
You had a brick that everyone else somehow
one
avoided.
One car avoided it. And the one car in front of me avoided it. He should have taken the hit for me.
All right. What's the next topic? I can't.
Well, I don't want to get into.
Here's the problem. You take no accountability when you're wrong.
And No. You don't get to say that. There is absolutely no world. There is no scenario in which this is my fault. There is not. Because it didn't come out of nowhere. It came
this
off
time,
of a truck.
This time, I agree with you. But the brick.
The brick came off of a truck, man.
Yet someone else avoided it, but Abe couldn't.
One guy happened to get lucky. If you want to say I'm unlucky, I'll take that. If you want to try and blame me for this,
I definitely think two of the three you're unlucky. I think the brick was avoidable because
it's a brick. I'm in traffic. I can't go left.
Well,
I can't go right. I just got to take the hit.
Yeah, somehow the car in front of you figured out how to. Somehow that car.
It didn't come directly from my lane. It wasn't a brick that went straight. A brick obviously has some corners. It's going to take some weird bounces. It didn't come straight from my lane.
Well, and
I think I know the truck it came from, but I couldn't catch up to it to get a look at it. Also, I was shaking because I thought the brick was going to be a real problem.
Yeah, it could
have
been.
I thought the brick was going to, one, through the windshield. Not a crack the windshield, through the windshield.
Imagine, well, that,
two,
yeah.
I was concerned. Now, it hit the front, and I'm like, is this thing going to set off my airbags at 40 miles an hour on the highway?
Yeah, I don't think that impacts.
I don't know. I don't.
That would have been crazy.
And then, at first, I didn't see any damage. Because I thought it hit more towards the side.
Can I ask you a question?
It hit square in the middle, and there is just a chunk of my grill gone.
Have you got it fixed?
No. Did you see my old car? I rode around with a deer dent for like 9 years.
I've never seen any car you drive. I'm not
probably
trying to
for
be.
The better.
I'm not trying to be hateful. I don't follow you to the parking lot. I don't see you. Our timing is we're crossing paths. Look, I think it sucks. I do think, in all reality, I do think you have bad luck.
Yeah.
But at this point, if I'm Abe Gordon and my Hyundai Accent,
yeah,
I am.
You're buying a dash cam?
I'm buying a dash cam and I'm doing everything possible to avoid big trucks.
That's what frustrates me. Is I think yesterday I was doing, and I know we got a break, I think I was doing everything I could to get away from the debris, and it still got
me. So, you know, I've got chips off my hood of paint. I've got chips. There's a chip in my windshield. Not a big one, but a small one.
Yeah, these are both small.
Where it's happened. So I
it's
understand.
It's just frustrating.
And I think everybody in their car probably feels this frustration. But I think to blanket, you know, accuse all trucks of not, you know, doing what they should.
I didn't accuse
is
all trucks.
Wrong. And I think you should learn that when there are that many trucks, you need to find the least.
I was trying.
The one that's the least likely to damage your vehicle by passing and go that route.
I also just want an easier path to not having to spend the money myself.
But also, trucks aren't supposed to be in the left-hand lane. So if one of the trucks
in the left. It wasn't far left.
Okay, well, that's where you should have been.
The four trucks were across the three middle.
This is why I stay in the far left-hand lane as much as possible, or at least the second left-hand, because normally you avoid bigger trucks. Now, sometimes you get like on 575, it's unavoidable.
But I was also getting towards my exit, which is on the far right. I didn't want
to. It's also why I had the express lane, because they're not allowed in there.
Anyways,
gives you as much as you
can. I'm not going to pay for a new windshield until there's a real problem. So
you should pay for your.
I'm going to have to.
Your brick issue is probably more important.
It's just a small chunk of the grill that's gone.
Well, it's not the way you just made it sound.
I'll show it to Bo. Bo knows where I park. I'll show it to Bo. All right. We never got to your mock draft Saints discussion. We're going to find a place for it. You want to do that, or do you want to talk about the Falcons next segment?
How about we talk both with the mock draft? How about that?
Okay.
Because he does have a Falcons pick or two in there.
Yeah.
Two-round mock. That's very interesting.
That's all right. All right, when we come back, we'll talk mock drafts as it relates to the Falcons and as it relates to another NFC South team. It's Abe Gordon. It's Bo Morgan filling in for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.